Michelle Anderson's a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Chell.
Hi.
Well, there are some of the nattiest dressers in the bird world in their formal attire. So tell us about rose-breasted grosbeaks.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, always fun to see them return along with so many of our other migrants who have successfully dodged all those severe weather bullets to get here. My goodness. And among the nattiest, as you say, are those beautiful rose-breasted grosbeaks. And, you know, the males, of course, are the splashy ones because they're large, right? They're large like our other grosbeaks. And they're kind of black backs and black heads. But then they have this large, triangular, rosy red patch right on their breast, you know, kind of at the base of their necks, and then white underparts. So very splashy and natty. But I think the females too, which are kind of this beautiful buffy brown and with kind of a boldly striped brown head with a, over the brown eye, and white light underparts, but with fine brown streaks. You know, I think they're a very elegantly plumaged bird as well. So together they really make a great looking pair. And they are back for the spring. I know you've seen some at your place and I've been seeing them around. And the other thing that I'm hearing is their beautiful song. So the males in particular sing a very exquisite, long, continuous, kind of liquid, to my ear, melody that, and they're regular singers. It's not, you know, just every now and then. They really seem to get into
it. You know, I've thought too, because this is also a time of year in which the robins are singing a lot too. And but you know, sometimes if you just catch a fragment of it, they can sound a little bit alike.
Yeah.
But as you say, the grosbeak, the rose-breasted grosbeak song is much longer, much more melodious, and seems variable too.
Yes, right. Yeah. And not so, I love the songs of the robin, but they're more predictable in terms of the phrasing. And to my ear anyway, the grosbeak is different in that way. The kind of the tonal quality is very similar, but it's different kind of arrangement. And like you say, much more long and elaborate and very, very enjoyable to listen to.
Well, that's why they dress in their concert tuxedos.
That's right, yeah.
Because they're really performing.
Yeah, they'd be perfect for the opera house, wouldn't they? Yeah, or some other stage somewhere. So they're back here now. They're looking to set up their territories. And they live in, they prefer habitats that have a, kind of a dense cover of younger trees and dense shrubs. So this could be smaller openings in our maple woods or in our other deciduous, primarily forests. They're not a bird that would nest in a real heavily coniferous forest. They eat seeds, of course, like our other grosbeaks. They're also big feeders on beetles, and they're among the few birds that eat tent caterpillars. And they eat gypsy moths, among other moths. So important, as are so many birds, in terms of controlling both native and exotic pests in the forest. And so they're looking for the best, you know, habitats. They might be habitats that are found on the edges of transitional places between streams or ponds or lakes and a more dense forest cover, or as I said, in small, around small openings, or yeah, or bigger patches of sort of middle-aged forest where you've developed that dense shrub layer again or still have that dense shrub layer, but also fairly dense canopy. The males are quite vigorous in their interactions between males over females. Apparently, people have observed groups of males hovering over a single female, kind of duking it out, not in some mortal sort of combat, but feather losing combat, and singing all the while as they're tussling with each other. But once they've selected and have been accepted by a mate and they begin their courtship, I guess, and I haven't ever heard this, I would love to, of course, but when they have a very ritualized courtship display for the females that's quite elaborate with lots of displaying of the beautiful colors of their their under wings have a rosy color to them along with white patches. So they do a lot of displays for the female, and they arch their heads back apparently, and they sing a whole different song. That's softer, but just as kind of expansive and quite lovely, apparently. So there, it's been described. I've read a few descriptions of it that make it sound like it'd be just an amazing sight to see this whole thing. And then when they're matched and together, they're very kind of affectionate, in quotes, with each other. They do a lot of bill touching. And so I'm sure it'd be very fun to, you know, get to watch them around the nest. There are some accounts of males actually singing while they're on the nest and at night, which, you know, I've never heard that or seen that. And it strikes me as a little strange because it doesn't seem very adaptive. You're calling attention to this, a place which most birds are very secretive about, but who's to say, you know, maybe they're really good at defending their nests. I don't know, but they are one of our very beautiful and greatest songsters. So it's a great time of year to be enjoying them. And they come to bird feeders. So if you still have your bird feeders out, you may be very likely to see them if you're serving up sunflower seeds, for instance.
Oh, yeah. They hang around for quite a while during the summer. Mm-hmm. And they are, as you say, really, I've never seen any of the combat, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. But once they settled in pairs, I've had as many as four pairs at the bird feeder, and they seem to get along just fine. Everybody's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a little variation. You know, they're not cookie cutter coloration, mm-hmm. but some of them, that red vest, I guess, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. necktie or whatever, mm-hmm. in some cases extends way down.
Yeah.
Beautiful bird.
Yeah, they are.
Chell Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand rose-breasted grosbeaks.
Oh, you're so welcome.